Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
Paul wrote to Timothy, and he told him to be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. And if you don't really know what he's talking about, that's kind of a confusing phrase. Be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. He didn't tell him to be strong in his personality. He said, be strong in grace. So grace, we begin to talk about it. His grace is God's power and ability on our behalf. We didn't earn it. We didn't deserve it. And God gave it to us. And the grace that's in Christ is what God has done for us in Christ Jesus. So I want to talk about that tonight. I want to talk, hopefully we'll get through a lot of it, but I want to talk about some of the process of how you actually become stronger in grace, how you can begin to incorporate that into your life, and so that you can become stronger. You know, if I'm given the opportunity to get stronger in an area and it's not going to cost me anything other than time and effort, I'm in. If I have the chance. It's like if someone says, hey, would you like this car that has 4 cylinders or for no extra money, we'll give you an 8-cylinder.
Oh, yeah.
I'm for 8. I'm all about 8. You know, they've stopped, man, they'll almost stop making them. But you appreciate if you have an opportunity to have more power. Paul wrote to Timothy. Timothy was a young pastor. Paul was writing to him, and he's saying, here's an area that you can be strong in. Now, one of the things you'll have to do is get it through your head and get it into your heart that you can be strong in the grace that's in Christ. But that's not just reserved for certain super spiritual people, and you're not one of them. If you've made Jesus your Lord, and if you haven't, we'll give you an opportunity to do that at the end of this service tonight. But if you've made Jesus your Lord, you're already in the grace that's in Jesus Christ. You just need to learn about it and get stronger in it. And so you're finding out what already belongs to us. This is not something we're trying to conjure up or talk God into. This is something that belongs to us, and as we walk in it, it's a wonderful thing. So let's talk about some challenges to becoming stronger in grace. Here's one. The first one is being dominated by our senses. 2 Corinthians 4th chapter, verse 16, Paul was writing. He said, therefore, we don't lose heart. In other words, we don't get discouraged. Why don't we get discouraged? Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Can you go back to that first verse, please? That first part of that verse? Thank you. We got a good team here that does our production. We don't give them enough appreciation, but they do a good job. Thank you. We don't lose heart even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is renewed. Now, the outward man versus the inward man. Now, we understand where the outward man is. We understand that this is our body. And people say, well, you know, our body is perishing. Well, yet after a certain point, you're not continuing to grow. You don't keep growing forever outwardly. Now, I know some of you are thinking, well, my waistline has grown outwardly. But we're talking about just the growth process. It says, but the inward man is renewed day by day. This is something that we really need to focus on, because if you never make the distinction between the outward man and the inward man, the Christianity is going to be a little puzzling to you. But you can understand that you are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body, and that your spirit is the eternal part, and really it's your spirit that's the real you. How many of you have ever been to a funeral? Let's go ahead, don't be embarrassing, raise your hand. How many of you have ever been to a funeral? How many of you ever looked at the casket and went, that's not them? Maybe you looked at the body in the casket and you went, that's not them. And you're right. That's the shell that they had. And, you know, here's the good news. One day we're going to get a brand new body. It's going to be a recreated, glorified body. No wrinkles, no weight gains, no tired. It's going to be a good deal. And God's going to be able to create it. Now, this came up in my heart tonight. I hear people say, well, Alan, I had a relative that was cremated. Is that going to be okay? And I've had people ask me that. Is that going to be okay? Because, you know, when I get a recreated body, what if I'm cremated? I'm just like ashes. What about people that have already become dust? What about people that got eaten by sharks? See, Alan, you think weird. No, I'm thinking true. That's, what about people blown up by bombs, burned in fires? Hey, I think God that created the universe can recreate our body from whatever he needs to do, and it'll be fine. My own mother, we had her cremated. Well, her body, she's in heaven. She's in good shape. The body is, you know what I'm talking about. But this outward man perishes. But we spend too much focus on the outward man. We look in the mirror, we go, oh, this is who I am. No, this is the shell they am. This inward man is renewed day by day. And this inward man can get stronger, even though the outward man may be getting weaker. Although they've proven that you can still gain strength up until your 80s and 90s. It's good news. Some of you are young, like, that's a long time. Yeah, you'll get there. Everybody, yeah, quicker than you think. So, the outward, but a focus on that is understanding that the spirit is the real you. I'll say this occasionally to myself. I'm a spirit, I have a soul, I live in a body. I'm a spirit being. There's an eternal part of me. The eternal part is your spirit. And if to understand that, and to understand that the scriptures are written to the spirit. And so when we talk about who we are in Christ, we're talking about who we are spiritually. We have to get past this. And being dominated by the senses is a challenge to getting stronger in grace, because we see all of our weak areas. So the first one is being dominated by the senses. The second one is we're limited by where we're looking, where we're focusing. If we're only looking in one realm, the things that are seen, it's too easy to be dominated by that. Everything you see around you right now is subject to change. Our bodies are subject to change. It's temporary. They do change. This building is subject to change. 200 years from now, if the Lord doesn't come back, I doubt this building will be here. We'll probably build a new one. But don't worry, we're not doing a capital campaign. We can wait a while. But the idea is everything is subject to change. Everything is temporary. Everything we see is temporary. If this is the only realm that we ever acknowledge and experience, then we're missing out on a spiritual realm which is higher and stronger, and we are spiritual people. The part of you that became a new creation in Christ was not your body, and it was not your mind. Your mind has to be renewed. Your body has to be kept under, or it will still want to do the same things it always did. But your spirit was recreated. If anyone is in Christ, he is a creation. Well, what are we talking about? We're not talking about your mental focus and capacities and the way you thought. How many of you figured out that after you became a Christian, you need to change the way you think? And over the years, what you've realized is, thank God I begin to change the way. Some of you wouldn't be caught dead in a church on a Wednesday night a few years ago, but here you are. And you enjoy it. So the idea is, we can't just get caught up in this realm. Instead, we're going to look at what is not seen. You say, well, Alan, how can I look at what is not seen? Well, the scriptures tell us what is not seen. In the book of Philemon, go ahead and put that up there. I look like I'm reading out of the back of my head, but the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. The acknowledgement of every good thing. Our challenge is, guys, we acknowledge all the weak areas we have. We acknowledge all our faults, all of our shortcomings, all the areas that you miss. If I sat down and talked, would just talk and say, hey man, how you doing? How's your Christian life doing? Most people are like, well, you know, woo, you know, I'm trying. Very few people would just stand up and go, I want to tell you something, man, I am so glad the But the Lord saved me, and I've been made the righteousness of God in Christ. I'm His workmanship. I'm accepted. I'm in the book. But we don't typically talk like that. What we typically talk about is, you know, I know I should be praying more. Yeah, I know I need to read my Bible more. I mean, I see people, they're like, I know I need to read Bible 365. I'm like, I never said a word to you. But the idea is, if we're constantly focusing on where we're missing it, then we're missing the most powerful part of us. And that's who we are in Christ. What Jesus has done for us. He said, well, I don't feel it. It's not in the feelings realm. We're too accustomed to living by feelings. And listen, you can get up, you can worship God. Some of you came in here with bad feelings. You felt negative and down, and you came in and you begin to worship and you do better. You feel better. I have numerous people tell me all the time, you know, they come and say things like, I didn't want to come tonight. But I did better. Have you ever walked through these doors not feeling really good and leave feeling better than how you came in? And what happened was you got in the presence of God. You got around other believers. You changed your focus. You changed what you were saying. You changed what you were singing. All of a sudden, you're singing songs to God by the Lord. Come in and do what you want to do in my life. And these are good things. But it's a focus not on what is seen. We're not coming in going, God, I'm tired. I hate my job and I hate the people that I work around. Dear Lord, my family's messed up. Oh, God. We're not singing that. We're singing songs to Him. We're worshiping Him. I love that song. I call you healer. I call you savior. I call you. Yes, that's what we're doing. And those words, that focus is a lift, because now we're focusing not what we can see, but what we cannot see. And we're acknowledging these things. And the key is, guys, we have to acknowledge this on a regular basis. I'm going to say this. I'm going to jump ahead of myself, but I'll come back to it. We need to be people, and I'm talking to Wednesday night people, even you who are watching online. I'm talking to Wednesday night people. We need to be motivated by consistency, not crisis. Amen. Consistency, not crisis. That we spend time with the Lord consistently. That we spend time in His Word consistently. Not just when all hell breaks loose. Now, if you're here because, man, I don't know, I came tonight because all hell broke loose. Well, good, you're in the right place. That's okay. But where you want to go in the future is, you don't always want to be motivated by a crisis. Yes. I'm going to tell on Matt. Matt's such a good sport. I'm going to tell on Matt. Matt and Kelly, how long y'all been married?
Almost 18 years.
And that was for you, Kelly. Matt, the day he was getting married, he was at the house. Kelly, of course, was at her place. They got married. Where'd you get married? Was it
Thursday, 17th of August.
Yeah, where was it?
Seven Coves. Seven Coves, the little clubhouse.
Yeah, it was 150 degrees. Right. And one of the last outdoor weddings I'll ever do. But we look out on the back deck, and Matt's doing push-ups. And I remember Joy went, it's too late. It's too late. I mean, you're trying to get all buff. On the day you're getting married, it's too late. If you want to get buff, how about you know you might want to start ahead of time? You might want to get straight. If you know you've got a challenge, if you know you're going to run a 5K or you're going to run a half marathon, you're going to do an Ironman, or you don't want to start next week and then 2 weeks later jump into it. You want to start building on consistency. And so we want to build on these things. We want to begin to read up the scriptures. We want to begin to spend time with God on a consistent basis, not just when a crisis hits. And way too many times, people will go crisis to crisis to crisis. And we see them when the crisis happens, And then when the pressure's off, everyone kind of goes, well, okay, I'm good. I go back to living. And you're not realizing you're missing a lot of life right here. You're missing a lot of the best of life right here. Because, you know, the best of life is to stay strong on the inside so that when problems come, you got more than enough to handle them. The best way to live is to live where you got joy on the inside and it's not in and out and in and out. It's consistent. And you build strength with consistency. I used to run cross country many years ago. I ran in high school. And cross country where I ran in North Carolina, we had real hills. They weren't overpasses. They were real hills. And there was actually a strategy for those of you who've run cross country, you'll know what I'm talking about, distance. When people are going up a hill, they're pushing. Man, you're pushing. You're working it to get up. And we had some hills there. And you're pushing to get up a hill. What's the natural tendency to do when you hit the top of the hill? Brother, we're not going to get any athletic skills out of you at all. But you're close. You get to the top of the hill and you just go. And if you're in a race, that's when I used to pass people. Because they'd hit the top of the hill and instead of going, I'd speed up and pass a lot of people. Too many people live their Christian life. Crisis, 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 crisis over. And the enemy will catch up with you. Not in my notes, but that was free. Let me jump into this. Looking at the wrong things. There's a great story in the book of Numbers. I love the Old Testament because it tells stories. I like stories. Like pictures, I like stories. And yeah, I do have a Bible that's not a picture Bible, but I do like the stories. They help me, and they help me learn. And so Numbers, the 13th chapter, the nation of Israel has come out of Egypt, and Moses has... You're ahead of me. You're good, but Moses has come out of Egypt. He's led the nation out. They've come to the edge of the promised land, and God's been promising. They call it the promised land because God... There you go. Promised it to them. And so they come to the edge of it, and they're getting ready to go in, and they said, let's send some spies. They send 12 spies, one from each of the tribes. They send a leader. And they send the leader in to spy out the land. They come back after 40 days, and they give a report. Then they told him and said, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. And moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. They were the giants. They came back and they began to talk about what they observed. They never mentioned that God had given them the land. They never mentioned that they could take the land. And then they doubled down on the negatives. They really went negative on this. Numbers 13. So they're still talking and they go, the men who had gone up with him, that's with Caleb, said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they'd spied out. They said, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak, come from the giants. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. Now there's some real good perspective here to gain from this. They said we're not able to do it. They have a distorted perspective. They said we're like grasshoppers. Obviously that's an exaggeration. We're like grasshoppers. Grasshoppers are very, very small compared to men. And so they're already beginning to exaggerate. But what they've done is they're constantly focusing on everything they can see. And we've done the same thing. All of us have done the same thing. We've looked at our weaknesses. We looked at our shortcomings, and we've declared that we can't do it. We have typically, and here's the challenge with going negative. Typically, when you go negative, it becomes exaggerated. You start going negative, and you start saying things like never, hopeless, useless, no way. And when you start going in there, a lot of times you're completely leaving God out of it. Now, one of the reasons I can address and talk very candidly about people who have been depressed is because the Lord delivered me from depression. I grew up in a family where my mom, I think if she had been diagnosed today, she would have been clinically depressed a lot of her life and just really had some very difficult times. I mean, before mental illness was a thing, we dealt with it in our family. And so I can tell you, I understand it, and I have been there. And I do know this. I do know that when depression would start to come on, you can almost feel it coming, like a cloud just coming into the, you can just feel it. And it would come on. God wasn't anywhere in the picture. And what happens is, then you start talking the depression and you start talking the negatives. I'll never get out of here. It's never going to change. It's always going to be this way. And it's useless. It's hopeless. And when you begin to use those words, you are binding yourself with your own words. Amen. And your words aren't helping you. And we need our words to help us come out, not dig a deeper ditch. And so what happens is, so here these spies came back, and they came back and they're looking at the people. They're going, we can't do this. The people, we saw them, they're big, they're huge. The cities are huge. They left God completely out of it. When you leave God completely out of your vocabulary, when you leave him out of your focus, when you leave him out of what you're thinking about, then you're limited to just who you are. When Paul told Timothy, be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus, he didn't say, Timothy, be strong in your personality. He didn't say, Timothy, be strong as the person. He said, be strong in what Jesus has done for you, which means we need to bring what Jesus has done for us into our life, into our focus, into what we're saying. We're not just the same old people that we used to be. We're not just people who got saved from going to hell and we're just dirty sinners saved by grace. We were sinners. We were saved by grace. Now we've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We have the ability to come and stand before the throne of God without a sense of guilt and fear and inferiority, not because of who we are, but because of what Jesus did for us. And what that does is, that helps us get rid of that conscious sin, shame, guilt, all the junk that's in our past. You say, well, Alan, you don't know what's happened to me. And you're right. And I know some of you had some horrible things that have taken place that never should have happened in your life. But what God has done in you is greater than anything that's been done to you. Amen. And when you begin to talk about the grace that's in Christ, then the abuse and the depression and the failure and the junk that's been in your past doesn't have to stay. It doesn't dominate. You say, well, it happened. Yeah, but it doesn't have to dictate my future and how I live. I live depressed, guys. I understand how it is. And I can relate to that. Had anxiety attacks at one time where almost cost me a job. And so I know, man, I have compassion. I'm not down. If you're depressed, believe me, I've been where you are, but I'm also can tell you is there is a way out. If you're thinking, I'm just caught up in anxiety, there is a way out. But it's acknowledging what God has done in you. And this is why I'm saying consistency, not crisis. Don't wait till the depression hits to get in your Bible. Because a lot of times it's difficult to go there when you're depressed. So you want to begin to do it on a regular basis. So do I have to quit my job and read the Bible, Pastor Allen? No, please don't. Please don't. Please don't. Don't quit your job. But just take a few moments. Listen, does everybody look straight ahead? I love you. I don't know any of you. We spend way too much time scrolling and not enough time scripturing. We spend a lot of time scrolling. And I can be caught up in it too. I loved television as a kid. YouTube is perfect for me. Because I can choose my television. But the thing about it is, it's not building anything on the inside of me. And it's not helping me focus on what's unseen. Not who I am in Jesus. Not what he's done for me. And that's where I want to focus. Because that's where the strength is. YouTube's fun. But there's no strength there. Unless you're doing messages. But I want to encourage you. We'll talk about it next week. I want to encourage you to even not just spend all your time listening to messages. That's good. But where you spend time with the Lord yourself. Amen. Quiet. Still. Meditating on his word. Or we could use classes on how to be still. How to be quiet. Sometimes I will leave my phone in my car on purpose. So I can go sit in the waiting room. And everyone else is scrolling. And I look like the guy that has no idea what's going on. But what I am doing is thinking about a scripture. That's a good time. I'm acknowledging all the good things. God has put good things in us in Christ Jesus. But we have to acknowledge it. If we don't acknowledge it, it doesn't become a reality in our life. But the more we begin to acknowledge it, the more real it becomes. And all of a sudden you'll find yourself dealing with a situation that used to crater you. And you're standing there going, ha, ha, I'm coming through this. This is not stopping me. I will tell you this. The Lord has helped me. I've kicked depression to the curb. And when it starts to raise its head, I will beat it senseless. You will not stop. It won't happen. And you go from weeks to days to hours to minutes where you'll put up with it. And boy, you begin to sense it and you're like, no. I'm going to lift my hands and worship God. I'm going to speak what God has put in me. And it's not just for me, it's for you. Would you bow your head with me? If you came this evening and said, Alan, I don't even know what you're talking about. I don't have a relationship with the Lord, but I'd love one. Or maybe you were like I was and you actually had a relationship and then you went away. And you recognize, man, I've gotten away from God. But man, I don't want to stay there. I want to come back. This is where the strength is. This is where the victory is. I've tried everything else. This is what works. Yes. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If that's you, we're not going to have you stand up or come to the front. We're going to pray. If you're online, this applies to you as well. But I'm going to ask you, if you're here and you're saying, Alan, I want to be sure where I am with the Lord, or I want to come back to him, would you pray for me? Would you shoot your hand up real quick just across this auditorium? Thank you. Thanks. Thank you. Thank you. Great. Thank you. Anybody else? Wonderful. You put your hands down. We're going to pray. If you didn't lift your hand, this prayer still applies to you. We're going to pray with you. Pray this out loud. If you're at home, listen, you're watching at home, you're by yourself, pray this prayer with us out loud. We're going to pray with you as a church family. Say, Dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ. Because I've said yes to you. Head still bowed for a moment. Father, thank you for those that prayed that prayer. Thank you, Father, for those who have prayed it in the past and still wonder. But Father, thank you that you heard them the first time they prayed. They are new creations. And Lord, we thank you for that. Father, for those of us who you've set free from all kinds of stuff, we rejoice. And for those who are desiring to be free, Lord, we thank you that that is such a real possibility, because whom the Son has set free is free indeed. So we give you all the praise at the good things that you're doing in them, and we acknowledge those. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearcchurch.com. Have a great week.